North Sound 1. Try to show!
Friday Sports. Very good evening. Welcome to Friday Sport. In the next half hour, everything you need for a complete weekend of sporting action ahead. It's the final league game this Sunday, a lunchtime trip to Firhill to face Partick Thistle. And Dave, you've been speaking to the manager.
Yes, we'll get Derek's pre-match views soon, but first an update on the skipper's future.
Ryan has now informed us that it's his intention to move on from Aberdeen. He's informed me of that in the last couple of days. But there's been no official approach from any club regarding speaking to Ryan. But if he's moving on, as it looks like now that Ryan's told me that, where he ends up, I do not know. Yeah, disappointed, but like I said, we've prepared ourselves to try and deal with losing some good players. And we'll try, and as I say, I'm confident we'll get good players in to help the squad who will remain here.
The manager's also praising Ryan Christie's on-loan contribution to the team.
As a player, I think he's had 5 goals in 8 starts, and he's had an influence on when he's come off the bench, but certainly his attitude to his work every day has been really impressive, and he's a fantastic boy. I've been just really enjoyed working with him. He will start on Sunday, it's another game for him, and hopefully he can go and show again how good he's been.
Well, if it was my decision, totally, I would love to work with him again, but it's he's Celtic's player. We're grateful we've been given an opportunity to work with him, and who knows what may happen, but that'll be Celtic's decision.
So to Sunday then, and a visit to Partick. The gaffer says he may freshen things up.
We've got we look at potentially maybe one or two who are on the cusp of suspension for next season if they pick up a yellow card. We look at players who may need minutes, and it would give us an opportunity to give them minutes, so it gives me more options ahead of the cup final. You know, some boys have been out for a bit, so we'll look at one or two things, but whatever team's picked, you know, whether it's one or two younger boys playing and getting involved as well, the emphasis will be to try and win the game. It's not the most important game, and I can't stress, I can't say otherwise. The most important game is a cup final, but it would be nice for us to finish with 76 points. We'd be break our own club record. You know, we hold 75 points is the record for a team out with the Old Firm in the SPL, and that's our own record. We want to try and beat that again, and the only way we can do that is by winning. And so that's incentive enough. We have a good crowd down there. We want to try and finish the campaign positively in the league, and hopefully that helps us again get into the cup final.
And Dave, you've also had a chat with Ryan Christie.
Yes, Dave, and he says he's keeping his future options open, but he's loved his time with the Reds.
I think I've made that pretty clear, and I think every kind of target kind of set for myself, I've been happy with how I've done here. You know, playing under the manager, I've enjoyed that, and it's a great changing room to be part of as well. Yeah, obviously, you know, part of the loan coming here was the game time. You know, I wanted to increase that, and I'm delighted that the amount of time that I've managed to get on the park. Happy with the goals as well, just because I think that was probably something I could have added to my game a bit more. So, you know, to see that start coming out in games is pleasing. Yeah, so I'm happy. Right now, I've just been thinking short term. You know, just kind of concentrating on the games coming up. So, you know, we'll get Sunday out of the way and enjoy my holidays, and then I'll be back in Celtic for pre-season. We'll see how that goes.
Now, Partick took a real hammering, as we know, from Celtic in midweek, but Ryan's been impressed with the Jags' campaign overall.
The way they've kind of gone under the radar the whole season, that's a credit to them that you know, they've just kept plugging away and picked up a lot of good results over the course of the season. They probably deserve to have booked their place in the top six, so it will be a hard game on Sunday, and at the same time we're looking forward to it because, you know, well, for me personally, I want to end the season on a high, and I think, you know, the rest of the team in the league, we'd quite like to beat the, you know, the points record for the club, you know, so there's plenty targets going into Sunday.
Good evening, you're in North Sound 1's Friday Sport. I'm Dave McDermott. Joining me tonight, Andrew Shiney, and as you've already heard, Dave Galloway. And Andrew, Wednesday night, it was a nice little piece of history, and despite a fairly horrendous journey home, we were still smiling when we arrived back in Aberdeen nearly at 3 o'clock.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it's just as well we got the result, because we would have been really annoyed with the delays and the way back north. But it was an excellent performance from Aberdeen. The only criticism you could possibly have was that they didn't really reflect their dominance of the game in the goals for tally, because Wes Fodringham made some excellent saves. We missed a couple of chances. We dominated Rangers so much that if there'd been a repeat of the Celtic scoreline at Ibrox of 5-1 against Rangers, I don't think any of their fans could have really complained. Such was Aberdeen's grip on the game, particularly in the middle of the park, where, you know, the high pressing game, and having a player like Ryan Christie, who I thought was excellent on the night, was just far too much for Rangers. They were very much found wanting in that department.
And Dave, it does send out a real marker in terms of psychological for the players. They've gone down to Glasgow. There was all the talk about the never perform in Glasgow. They've gone down and at last beaten one of the Old Firm. Now a chance in a week's time to do it the same against the other half of the Old Firm.
Yeah, absolutely, Dave. And, you know, the critics have been saying, you know, Aberdeen are bottle merchants. They can't win in Glasgow. They can't do this. They can't do that. But I think we shut a few people up at Ibrox in midweek. And it's all about momentum, isn't it? It's a cliched expression, but it is all about momentum. Let's just push on now. We've got two more games to go in the campaign in Glasgow. Let's try and win them both.
Absolutely. Managers hinted about changes, Andrew. I think when we come to you guys team selection, I'm sure you'll both have Ryan Christie in, given what we've just heard from Derek. But Graham Shinney is one suspension or he's one booking away from a suspension. It won't be any surprise if he is on the bench at best on Sunday.
Well, when I heard what Derek had to say, I thought, well, it was a very wise decision, because Graham's sitting on 11 bookings this season. He's already had the one suspension. It would be a 2-game ban that he would pick up, which would carry over into next season if he's booked in the Partick game. If he gets through the Partick game without any cautions, he starts with a clean sheet again next year. But Derek being Derek, I don't think he's going to take any chances, because, you know, we did say on Wednesday night there was the possibility that he might get a yellow. Did it affect his game in any way? No, it didn't.
No,
Graham's going to go about his business in exactly the same way as normal. But it's Ewan Anderson who's the referee on Sunday. He's not got the experience that John Beaton has, and you don't want to run the risk of losing the player who I'm quite sure will be wearing the captain's armband for Aberdeen next season for the opening two league games.
Yeah, I think Graham Shinney, you could say, well, you're one booking away, Dave, so you've got to take it easy, but that's not Graham Shinney's way, is it?
It most certainly is not. I mean, he is the beating heart of this Aberdeen side, isn't he? You know, the fans sing Graham Shinney, he's one of our own. He is built out of granite. He's got the heart of a lion. He's such an inspirational figure. And like Andrew says, he will be the skipper next season, and he'll be a great guy to lead us forward.
We've heard, Andrew, that you know, the gaffer's confirmed that Ryan Jack will be moving on. Where, we don't know, could be Rangers, could be somewhere else, but that's now Ryan Jack, Niall McGinn and Peter Pollitt all leaving. But you can be sure that we already know that Greg Tansey's coming in, that there'll be others of like quality to make sure that the overall squad is strengthened rather than weakened.
Absolutely. I mean, Derek always says that he works 2 or 3 transfer windows in advance, so he's known for a while, I'm quite sure, that the players were either going or likely to go, and will have done his homework, will have done his groundwork to ensure that there are players coming in. But equally, you can rest assured that the first that we know about it, and we work with the football club, is when the player is put up for his signing press conference.
Absolutely. Right, in terms of Sunday, it's you know, not as the gaffer said, it's not that important in comparison to next Saturday, but there is the target of that record points, which means they have to get a victory. So I would imagine, Dave, that there might be not too many changes, but this is probably the hardest starting 11 to pick, because you don't know exactly who he's going to rest and who he's not.
Yeah, as we know, Dave, you cannot second guess Derek McInnes. He's become very adept over the years of throwing the odd curved ball into the starting lineups. But I'm going with Joe Lewis in goals. At the back, Shea Logan, Ash Taylor, Mark Reynolds and Andy Considine. I've got Anthony O'Connor and Kenny McLean sitting with Niall McGinn, Ryan Christie and Johnny Hayes behind Adam Rooney.
Okay, Andrew?
That's exactly the same starting 11 as I've got. And I completely forgotten about Graham Shinney, to be perfectly honest. I knew that he was sitting in 11 bookings, but I think, having heard what Derek has had to say, that is pretty close to what the starting 11 could be. But there will be opportunities for the likes of Scott Wright, Frank Ross, possibly Dean Campbell, Miles Storey.
Well, he mentioned that the players that need game time, and Miles Storey certainly comes into that category. And obviously with Jaden suspended, that might be the opportunity for Miles to get a rare outing. He's scored, his only goal was against Partick.
Yeah, so it may well be that he puts Adam Rooney in cotton wool for the cup final, and gives Miles the carrot that he can just about play himself into the final. I mean, say Miles did start, scored a hat-trick, it'd be very difficult for Derek then to turn around and say, well done son, but Adam's coming back in. Although I think he would do it.
Yeah, that would be nice if Miles scores a hat-trick on Sunday. So, Andrew, you're one to watch.
I'm going to go for Ryan Christie, simply because it's his last game for Aberdeen this season.
Yes.
Because watch this space. Who knows what might happen
in the weeks. Believe me, we don't.
We don't. No, we don't. But Ryan, as the manager has said, has been excellent for Aberdeen. I don't think anybody can query his commitment, the level of skill that he's brought to the team. And we saw that on Wednesday night down there at Ibrox. I thought he was outstanding. He did a lot of tackling in the middle of the park, which is not something you'd really associate with Ryan Christie. You think of him more on a creative side of things, but he still had the time to be creative, scored what turned out to be the winning goal as well. So I think Ryan will want to bow out at the end of this season on a high note.
Okay, Dave, you're one to watch.
I'm going to go for Johnny Hayes. Dave, back and raring to go. His pace and running power can really cause chaos for a Jags team, which must be seriously smarting from an absolute hammering at the hands of Celtic in midweek.
Yeah, and your prediction?
My prediction, I'm going to go for 2-0 to the Dandy Dons.
Andrew?
That's the same as I've got written down.
And that's the same as I've got. What a boring bunch we are as well. Right, so 2-0 to the Dons, and we'll take a look at the rest of the weekend card. Still a lot of very important games to come, including one tonight, which we'll try and have a wee look at in the second part of the show. But we'll be back after these.
Sound one.
Dons in Glasgow on Sunday to face Partick Thistle tomorrow afternoon, of course. Andrew, it's the bottom six, and well, it couldn't get more tight. It's all down to the final game, starting with Hamilton against Dundee. Hamilton in free fall just now, but they need to get something.
They have to get something, but you know, I think that Dundee are going to be dangerous opponents tomorrow, because Neil McCann was not impressed with what he saw on Wednesday night against Inverness Cali Thistle, so he will have his side fired up for this one. And as you say, Hamilton, they've really struggled in recent weeks. They're complaining about the luck going against them, but it's not just bad luck that sees you in the situation that they're in. And I think the best that Hamilton can hope for tomorrow is a draw, but I fancy Dundee just to nick it.
Yeah, Inverness, a couple of weeks ago, they looked absolutely doomed, but Dave, they've given themselves a wee lifeline, but they have to do it at home to Motherwell. They've been urging their fans to come out in their numbers, although they said that the team probably doesn't deserve the support, but they need them.
They most certainly do, and this is, in every sense of the word, Dave, the last chance saloon for them. They will be on a high after a very good performance, a very good win at Dens Park that kind of brought Dundee crashing spectacularly back down to earth. Cali need the points more than Motherwell. Motherwell are already safe. I think Cali will make it very, very interesting indeed at the bottom by winning 1-0.
Okay, and the third game in the bottom six, Andrew, not a lot at stake other than pride for Kilmarnock against Ross County.
pride and prize money, and for both sides, both clubs, they'll want to get that extra bit of prize money. Kilmarnock would have to win against Ross County, but I have a wee sneaking suspicion that the players won't be thinking about prize money. They'll be thinking about the beach, and this one could end up a reasonably high scoring draw, 2-2.
Okay, Sunday lunchtime, it's the top six, starting with Celtic against Hearts. Celtic, of course, they won 5-0 at Firhill last night, and Hearts standing between them and an unbeaten league season. And I would have thought, Dave, given Hearts' form at the moment, there's only one outcome there.
Oh, absolutely. Hearts don't have a chance, I don't think. This could be a very painful afternoon for Ian Cathro's men. I think Celtic will absolutely steamroller them without even getting anywhere near top gear, I think. I can see them winning 5-0.
And St Johnstone against Rangers, interesting one, Andrew, because I think having seen both these sides recently, there's every chance St Johnstone will add to Pedro's pains.
I can only see one outcome there, and it's St Johnstone winning, because Rangers were inept in a lot of their play on Wednesday night, and I think St Johnstone, with home advantage and playing well as they always do in the post-split fixtures, will, as you say, add to the Rangers' woes, and the gap between them, between Rangers and St Johnstone, will be cut down to only 3 points, and the gap between Rangers and ourselves will increase to 12. So St Johnstone win by a couple of clear goals.
Okay, well, it's a massive match for Peterhead tomorrow as Forfar Athletic visit Balmour for the League One playoff final second leg. The Blue Toon led 1-0 at half time in the first leg, but lost control of the game when Michael McMullen was controversially sent off 5 minutes after the interval. The on-loan Partick youngster went down in the box, but referee Stephen Finney cautioned the defender for simulation, and having already been booked in the first period, he was dismissed, a decision which left boss Jim McInally raging.
But as soon as it happened, Rory came out of the meet, says it's a blatant penalty, he just clipped his heels. Yeah, it was actually, seeing his way in, he was getting his jersey pulled, and then as he got in and beat him again, his heels were clipped. He was actually fouled twice. And I bet you all the money in the world he didn't know that he'd already booked him. And see if he'd remembered that he'd booked him, he wouldn't have done it again. But that just shows you the quality of a referee that he is.
So you're going to channel that sense, as you said, that injustice, the thing that
aye, and we feel as though to come away with a goal behind, it could have been worse for us. Two set pieces near the end, just went by the post, and Big Smiddy had a great save for the long range shot. You know, that was a disappointing thing, was the fact that, you know, the long range shot was kind of the first one, and then the second one was the second ball of a set piece. So we made a big effort tonight as far as having to deal with what we had to deal with, and the players showed a lot of character.
Well, Andrew, still all to play for Peterhead, but obviously Jim McInally, he sounded to do his own commentating with us there with his description. But
yeah, he's running the risk of a couple of visits from the compliance officer, one for slaughtering Stephen Finney and the other one for saying he would bet all the money that there is that the referee didn't realise that he'd booked the player. But obviously a sense of injustice there, and he'll be looking for that to fuel his team's desire to get over the line. They've got home advantage. I hope they get a decent crowd up there at Balmour tomorrow, and I think it's important for football in this area that Peterhead are as high up the leagues as they possibly can be, and I fancy them just to nick it.
Yeah, can Peterhead do it, Dave?
Yeah, of course they can. I would echo Andrew's sentiments about a big crowd. That could make all the difference. I fancy them to win 2-0, but it would be nice, wouldn't it, if, you know, with Aberdeen playing on Sunday, if some of the Red Army who live locally go along and cheer on Peterhead.
Yeah, I'm sure they will. Of course, we mentioned earlier, big playoff game tonight, Falkirk against Dundee United. I watched the first leg at Tannadice, an excellent 2-2 game, but Dave, you must feel, with home advantage this evening, they're very much in the driving seat to go through, which would be a huge financial, or have huge financial implications, you would feel, at Tannadice.
Yeah, well, I mean, I've seen the reports in some of this morning's papers that, you know, there are concerns over the financial viability of Dundee United, and if they don't get a result tonight, then, you know, who knows, they could be in serious trouble. But I hope that doesn't happen. No, I actually think that, you know, this tie is very finely poised. I think it's leaning slightly towards Falkirk, but I was at the game at Tannadice. It was a terrific match between two good attacking, well-balanced side. So, you know, speaking to Ray McKinnon earlier this week, he said, you know, as far as he's concerned, it starts at 0-0. I think it could be a very long night with maybe extra time and penalties.
Andrew, two cracking goals from Falkirk at Tannadice midweek.
There's four good goals actually in the game. Mm-hmm. And I just have a sneaking suspicion that Falkirk have the upper hand here, because Dundee United had the extra games to play against Morton. The league games between the two sides finished 3-0 and 3-1 to Falkirk. So United are going to a place that they haven't had any joy in visiting so far this season. But I think, you know, from a Red Army point of view, we'd like to see Dundee United back again, because the trip to Tannadice was always special. So best of luck. And of course, Willow Flood, one of our ex-players, is there at Dundee United.
And Lee Miller at Danny Rogers was on the bench in midweek.
So there's Aberdeen connections on both sides, but I just have a wee sneaking suspicion that Falkirk could edge this one. But like Dave said, I think it could go all night.
On the Highlands, it's cup final day tomorrow.
Yeah, we were a wee bit ahead of ourselves when we mentioned the Menzies Distribution North of Scotland cup final. We said last week it was being played. It's actually being played tomorrow. Fort William against Brora Rangers at McKessick Park in Rothes. No guesses as to who is the favourites for this one. Brora had a strong league season, and we'll look to bring the curtain down on the Highland League season by picking up the final piece of silverware.
Well, I hope for the people that went last Saturday, it's been worth the wait.
I think eventually there was a ladies' day there or something like that.
They might have enjoyed themselves anyway. In the juniors tomorrow, Banksy bring the curtain down on their McBookie.com Super League campaign. They're at home to Hermes at Spain Park. There is an important Super League playoff game up at Dufftown, where Dufftown entertain Sunnybank. And of course, the winners there, Dufftown trying to remain in the Super League, Sunnybank trying to come up from the First Division East. There's also an Archibald Cup semi-final tie. That's Montrose Rose Lee against East End. East End beat Banksy in midweek, so they're playing very well just now. And it's Sunnybank awaiting the winners of that one. So remember the Dons and Sunday lunchtime action this weekend. The final league game against Partick Thistle away from home. And of course, next weekend, it's the season's climax with the William Hill Scottish Cup final. So Friday Sport Cup final special next week. But from Dave, from Andrew, and from myself, have a great sporting weekend. Bye-bye.